You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Shocker, do you know who that song, do you know who that band was?
I was busy while I was on hold.
Shocker, that was the Dead Kennedys, in case you're wondering, and Police Truck. We're talking about
I would
punk
never
bands.
Have
no.
known that, ever.
No, it's all good, man. You're not really a punk guy either.
No, that's... You know, there's a lot of different types of music that I'm open to. I tend to have a pretty open mind. Punk is not something I've ever really been able to feel.
Okay, that's fair.
It's not really, doesn't really fit with my brand, you know?
Yeah, it's true. It's a little grittier. It's a little grittier.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
A little more details. I'm a little more, I don't know.
You're
really
more
fit.
Timberlake. Yeah, that's fair.
There you go.
Totally fair. The Edmonton Oilers are actually hoping they could be a little bit more Dead Kennedys tonight, a little bit more grit and sandpaper than like they had in their previous games. Jay Woodcroft shuffles the deck a little bit, but not necessarily lines we haven't seen before, right? Nugent Hopkins has played with Puljujärvi a little bit, not a ton, 50 minutes really without McDavid or Draisaitl. And, you know, McDavid has played, of course, Kane and Yamamoto. They had a lot of success down the stretch. So, you know, I think he's just looking for a little bit of a jump, but I also think he is looking for a little bit more finish on the right side of McDavid's line.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he is. I think, so there's a couple of things I think this he attempts to accomplish with this. Yamamoto needed to move down the lineup. He hasn't been getting enough done. And,
Puljujärvi, you mean?
Or Puljujärvi, sorry, needed to move down the lineup. Hasn't been getting enough done. So I think that move makes sense, and I get that. Yamamoto on that line with McDavid, I think it's a little bit more getting in the middle of the ice, creating some scoring opportunities from the inside. McDavid and Draisaitl combined had zero shots in the slot last game. They had 11 in the previous three. So I think it's – and McDavid had one pass in the middle of the ice. All that stuff was from Sport Logic. And I just think it's about – trying to get back to the meat and potatoes area where you can generate. And I think Kaito Yamamoto is kind of all about that, right? That's the way he goes about his business. He, you know, he turns over pucks. He's not afraid to take it to the net. He does lots of things that can help promote puck possession in the offensive zone. And that's important for McDavid. I think McLeod on Draisaitl's line, it adds a little bit more speed, but I also think that McLeod can take some face-offs because is it just me or does it look like Draisaitl's hurting a little bit on that front? His face-offs are weighed down and McLeod can take some draws, I think, for Draisaitl.
Yeah, Hyman could also take him too, right? It's, you could because he was taking him for Nuge on his backhand when they first played together. So yeah, now you have a lefty and a righty option if indeed that's an issue for them. So we'll see. You know, there's two guys. You know, from two guys, I look at Puljujärvi and Fogel specifically as two players I think that could really maximize their size against a smaller LA Kings team. Neither one of them has an inner slot shot yet, right? And I know that Puljujärvi's gone to the net and creates disruptions, which is good, but he's got to take the puck to the net, and also I think he's got to be one where he can box out that smaller LA defense, and I would like to see him and Fogel, because neither one of them's done it, that I think those are two guys that they're not going to be facing LA's best defense. Not that LA has like a dominant defenseman by any stretch, but I think when I look at small little details of the game that you should be able to take advantage of, those are two guys who should be getting a few shots at least from the inner slot because that means they're right around the net.
For sure they should. Like, I'm not sure exactly what's happening with Puljujärvi here, but, you know, both times that he's missed time this year, he's come back and really fought his hands. You know, and it's not like he has fantastic hands to begin with, but I really find that he's struggling with his hands. Like, he's not transporting the puck. He's looking to get rid of it quickly. He's having trouble. He's fumbling. He's missing passes. I just don't sense any level of confidence in his hands right now. And so a little, you know, you can't have him on a line with guys who need the puck. You know, the play is dying with him a little bit too much. And so I think it's okay. Right? He's like, it's fine. He's a middle six player right now. There's nothing wrong with that. As a third liner, playing on a line with a guy on the other side that, you know, is pretty meat and potatoes guy too. I think that's fine. I think that'll serve Jesse well. He can still be useful. He needs to find ways to make an impact on the game, even if he's not, you know, distributing the puck and playing with McDavid or Draisaitl. Like, he's got to find ways. And I think what you point out is accurate. He needs to be a guy that can take it to the net, challenge defensemen, be a big body. You know, he's never going to blow people up, but he can be tough to play against when he's heavy in the corners.
Yep.
And we haven't seen that much. I just feel like the best qualities in Puljujarvi's game really have yet to reveal themselves in this series. And we've seen it from him for long stretches of this year where he's had those qualities. Even when he wasn't producing, there were lots of positives you could point to in his game. And now he's not producing, but I don't see the same level of positives.
Yeah, I think he also, to me, looks like a player who's lacking a little bit of offensive confidence, which it's understandable. He's only got 44 goals in his last 40-some games or so. So, you know, and that, hey, I've seen elite players who struggle with confidence. And so, in the playoffs where everything's heightened and magnified, and all of it, you know, I thought when he scored that goal, that might kind of loosen him up a little bit, but it hasn't yet, and maybe it will, and, you know, maybe a little bit of the easier matchups might help. But when I look at the matchup game tonight, Sugar, and I look at that fourth line of Kaliev and Vilardi and Kupari, you got basically three rookies on that line. Tonight's the night, if I'm Jay Woodcroft, I might search out my first or second line matchup at least a few shifts against that fourth line of LA, which is a very inexperienced line.
Well, you're going to look for opportunities, right? Another thing to consider here, Derek Ryan, we know Jay Woodcroft prefers him on the wing, right? So, yes, he's the fourth-line center tonight, and yes, he's important to have in the lineup. They missed him last game. I don't believe he's necessarily being used to his strength by playing center ice. I could see Ryan shifted to the wing and used on the wing, and I could see Woodcroft double-shifting McDavid and Draisaitl into the middle on that fourth line, almost the way it looks when they have 11 forwards dressed only.
So which forward gets the shorts? Who gets knocked out then?
Honestly, you can kind of take turns with it if you want.
Okay.
You can rotate guys through. McDavid and Draisaitl haven't been taxed minutes-wise in this series. I think it's going to force them to overplay the Kopitars of the world in it, you know, trying not to get caught in that fourth-line matchup. I see him starting this way, but we got to remember a couple things. Ryan was banged up enough that he didn't play last game, and Woodcroft prefers him on the wing to center. So while the line configuration was what it was today, I'll be interested to see how much he actually rolls that fourth line as it's currently constructed versus throwing one of his top-end guys there looking for that fourth-line matchup that you just described, because you're bang on. That's a huge mismatch if the Oilers can get it. And remember how McClellan tried to avoid the mismatch when the series was here before. Kopitar played over 25 minutes in that first game. And I don't know that you want to be doing that night after night.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Ryan Rashog joins us at Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. One last one. When I look at... you know, we talk about injuries. How banged up do you think Nurse is? Because he seems to, there seems to be something when he's turning to his left.
Yeah, I think he's hurt for sure. His flat out speed seems to be okay. Like we saw him jump up into the rush a couple times. I watched the first half of that game again. I was actually watched it in part to look for that. Just to get another look at how Darnell Nurse looked, and his flat-out speed seemed to be okay. But two very uncharacteristic things happened. There was obviously the one at the end there where he got beat, kind of shoved to the side. The other one was earlier in the game, Kempe beat him wide and beat him in a foot race. And that doesn't really happen to Darnell Nurse very often. Remember, we weren't sure if he was even going to start this series, so we know he's not 100%. I do think he's hurt. I don't know how much. I think it's affecting his mobility in some ways. Doesn't look to me like he's 100% because he's playing reasonably conservative too. When you know you're hurt, you're not jumping up as much. You're just basically staying home and taking care of business in your own end. And my sense is that's what he's been doing.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Shager, it'll be interesting. I expect the Oilers to come up with a better start. And the other thing is, I'm curious to see how they adapt their power play, because their power play, as Strud said earlier, it was almost like a momentum killer for them in game four. There was twice where they didn't get anything done on the power play. Obviously, it started with not winning faceoffs, but their zone entries, LA tweaked their strategy, standing up at the blue line, and at times Edmonton was just too stubborn. So I'm curious how they will adapt and change that tonight.
Well, a couple things. When they're set up in the zone, the Oilers have a tendency with their power play to get really spread out. So you got Barry at the top, you got Draisaitl way over on one side, Nuge way over on the other, McDavid floating around. When they're as spread out as they are, it allows teams that want to force them to be able to just fire somebody right at the puck carrier, and that's what they did. They were so aggressive in chasing the puck carrier. I would look for the Oilers to be a little bit closer together to puck support. When you're playing against a kill that wants to be that aggressive, you just get your bodies a little bit closer together to give you quick little touch passes. The Oilers have the skill to absolutely dismantle a penalty kill that wants to be as aggressive as the Kings were last game. They just didn't get around to adjusting and doing it, I don't think. So let's see, because LA had success basically rushing the puck carrier. The Oilers have the skill to pick that into pieces.
Yeah. Shager, we'll see you at the rink. Enjoy it.
Okay, pal.